Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. 1 Samuel tonight. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in Samuel for a while. We're going to be looking at the life of David and drawing some application from his life over the next several Sunday nights, and I pray it'll be a great blessing for you. But tonight, we're going to be in 1 Samuel 16. Now, a few years ago, there was a movie that was entitled Braveheart. Mel Gibson was the star in that. Anybody see that movie? Wow, a bunch of you all did. Great. Mel Gibson played the part of a historical Scotsman by the name of William Wallace. And William was a young Scottish rebel at the time who led an uprising of the Scots people against a wicked English ruler. And his quest was kind of one of revenge because his own father and brother had been killed along with hundreds of others by this terrible English ruler. I can't remember who the... Yes, thank you. And in the movie, William dedicated his life to free his country. And at whatever cost, and because of his conviction and his dedication, he was known across the land as... Yes, very good. So that's the movie kind of in a nutshell. But Israel had a king by the name of David who had a brave heart. You remember him? We preached on him, two Sunday mornings ago when he slew the giant Goliath. And he also fought a lot of bloody wars like William Wallace and kept the peace in Israel for many years. And history reveals, you ask any, while we were over in Israel, I asked several Jewish folks who lived over there, who would you consider to be the greatest king that Israel's ever had? And to a man, they all said, King David. He was Israel's greatest king. And why is he considered Israel's greatest king? Well, King David was known as a man after God's own heart. And above everything else, now King David was human, and all of you know about his his lapse of wisdom and judgment and fell into sin and all that, but he had a heart to please God. His heart was always tender and sensitive toward the things of God. And so his heart was brave because of his desire to be close to the Lord and to do His will. You know, it is possible, brothers and sisters, to love God and to want to please God and to want to do His will and yet still fall into sin. Now, y'all don't sit out here and look all spiritual at me tonight. Now, come on. You understand what I'm talking about? Because I'm assuming that you all have a heart that wants to please God. Right? Don't we? But from time to time, this old sin nature pops up and man gets a hold of us and reveals that, you know, that sin nature hasn't been eradicated just yet, but it will one day. We're saved to sin no more. And that's going to happen one day. But until then, we're going to keep loving Jesus and learning about King David over the next few Sunday nights. But his desire, he had a heart to please God. And I believe that's... let's look at 1 Samuel 16 first. I want to read these first 11 verses for you. If you're there, say amen. 1 Samuel 16. Now, I want to talk first of all about David's election. Okay? Now, the Lord said to Samuel... Isn't that interesting? Now the Lord said to Samuel, have you ever heard it? Well, you heard Pastor Mike Burnett Monday night. And you heard a couple other pastors, Philip Chambers. God told me. God said this to me. God told me. You know, well, I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. And God knows how emotional I am that I wouldn't be able to handle it if I heard a voice from heaven. But God still speaks to His people. And He oftentimes speaks to us in this age through His Word. Every time I open the Bible, God speaks. Now the Lord spoke to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I named to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled as his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Well, you remember last week was election time in Clarksville? Did y'all go vote? Did all of you go vote? If you didn't, you have no right to complain at all. All right? But we put some new people in office, and new folks came in, old folks went out. But people came out to vote for their candidate, and you voted for the man or the woman that you felt most qualified for that office. And so we got, you know, some of the incumbents were put back in, and some of the others were out. And so God had decided here that it was time to elect a new king. And the Lord had sent his prophet Samuel to the reigning king of Israel, who happened to be Saul, and informed Saul that he was on the way out. Why was King Saul on the way out? Well, turn with me to 1 Samuel 15. Well, it's probably right there on that page, but maybe not. Verse 26, 1 Samuel 15, verse 26. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And so because of Saul's disobedience, he had offered up sacrifice. Kings were not supposed to offer up sacrifice. Only the priests and the prophets could do that. And so King Saul was out and someone else would be elected. Well, how in the world did they elect a king back in those days? Well, the election process for the king of Israel was much different from our process. I mean, what he did was he went to his prophet Samuel and told his prophet to go to Bethlehem. And there in Bethlehem, he would show Samuel who the next king of Israel would be. And so when God pointed out that Samuel would anoint him with oil, Samuel, whoever this next king was going to be, Samuel wasn't real thrilled with the process. Why? Yeah, I mean, y'all remember how suspicious Saul was. I mean, and by now he's very suspicious because God's man, God's prophet, had already told him he was on the way out. And so if he saw Samuel, if King Saul were to experience or see Samuel coming with a flask of oil to come to Bethlehem to anoint someone, I mean, he might take the prophet's head off. And so he's thinking, you know, that I'm not really sure about all this, Lord, but that's what you want me to do. And so if King Saul noticed anything suspicious, things could have got bad. You know, I've often wondered if Elvis Presley may have been thinking about King Saul when he wrote that song, Suspicious Minds. Well, four of you have heard that song, I guess. The Lord told Samuel to take a heifer with him to Bethlehem. And why in the world would you take a heifer to Bethlehem? That's right, sacrifice. And so when Samuel shows up in Bethlehem with a cow, everybody knew it was time to have church. You see, in the Old Testament, if a heifer or a cow or an animal, an ox was being brought in, you knew that there was going to be a worship service. You knew that sacrifice was about to happen. That was a part of worship. And so when Samuel gets to town, he's got a flask of oil and he's got a heifer. Y'all with me so far? And the people come out to greet the prophet, and he tells them, I want you to go get Jesse and his sons and bring him to me so that he could appoint the next king. And, you know, let me just stop right here and make this statement. Leadership is very important to God. And when leadership becomes unacceptable or undesirable, God's going to make a change. I said God's going to make a change. And everything rises or falls with leadership. Did you hear what I said? Everything rises and falls with leadership. It matters who the leader is. And it mattered who Israel's leader was. And so you've got this election process going on. And before the worship service, Jesse and his boys, his sons, all get there to see Samuel. And they come in, and the way the scripture reveals it, that they lined up from the oldest down to the youngest. Have you got that? And so the first boy lines up and steps out. His name is Eliab. Say that with me. Eliab. And the Bible says that Samuel was very impressed with him. Why? Ooh, he's tall, dark, and handsome. Now, I don't know who that plays out in your life to be, but you get that picture. This is a handsome, good-looking man. He was probably the MVP of the football team for Bethlehem University. Very popular, gorgeous-looking guy. And so Samuel thought, man, this has got to be the man. And God says, next. And so the next son steps up to the plate, and his name is Abinadab. And in my mind's eye, I can see that this second son, Abinadab, was probably a really sharp cat, probably had an IQ of 140 and had been voted most likely to succeed at Bethlehem University. Now, y'all, I'm reading through between the lines, okay? But it's okay to do that because it makes the Bible come to life. And so this guy was smart, and Samuel's thinking, oh, this must be the next king of Israel. And God says, next. And then the third son walks in, and his name is Shema. And this cat, the third son, Shema, is Mr. GQ. I mean, he's got, girls, he's got the skinny jeans on. He's got the flip-flops on. I mean, he is the cat's meow. He's stylish. He's popular. He's smooth as silk. I mean, this guy is as cool as the other side of the pillow. Some of y'all will get that next week. And Samuel thinks, this has got to be the next king of Israel. And God says, next. And so they go through all seven sons, and God doesn't let Samuel know that any of these are the man. None of these sons, although they all looked great, although they all looked sharp as a tack and handsome and talented and skilled and all that, But you see, what matters with God is not what a person looks like on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And can I tell you, you know, that's how we, really though, that's how we make decisions about people, isn't it? About whether they're drop dead gorgeous or not, or whether they're handsome as, you know. But that's not the way we ought to look and choose leaders. We ought to look at their heart. We ought to see man as God sees man. God looks at the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." That's a good verse to remember and memorize. And so we see what's on the outside, but bless God, He sees what's on the inside. So God is impressed with what's on the inside. He chooses leaders and workers based on what He sees in their heart. And so Samuel asked, "Jesse, I hadn't gotten a word from the Lord yet. Have you got any more sons?" And by that time, Jesse's beginning to scratch his head, and his young son, David, just probably barely 15 or 16, "Yeah, I got one more kid, but he's just a boy. I mean, and he's nothing more than a shepherd boy. He takes care of my sheep out here. He's out there in the field watching." Listen, surely you're not talking about David. And yet, his father and probably David's father and his brothers didn't take David real seriously. You remember in the sermon a couple of weeks ago when David showed up at the battlefield and how his brothers treated him? They didn't take David seriously, but God did. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14 tells us why. Listen to this. "But now your kingdom shall not continue." Samuel's talking to Saul. Chapter 13, verse 14. "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for Himself a man after His own heart, and the Lord has commanded for him to be commander over His people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." And so Saul's on the way out, and David's on the way in. Why? Because he was a man who had a heart for God. His heart was tender and sensitive toward the things of God. He wanted to please God. Let me just park right here and tell you this. God is always watching. He sees what you're doing, good and bad. He knows the whole story. And He's over things. And you know, God's done things in my life from time to time. And you know, I'm wondering, doesn't God know what's going on? Doesn't He see what's happening? And then later on, God steps in and takes care of whatever it is that I've been fussing about. He's always at work. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And God has a plan, and He's got a purpose. And He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's right. Now get up and get with it." And so God had a plan and a purpose for David's life. He was watching, and He was looking for a man who had a brave heart. All right, so that's David's election. Let's look at David's selection now. Where are we? Verse 12. "So he sent and brought him in." Now, David, he was ruddy. And y'all know what that word means? Redheaded. Redheaded. And maybe, you know, I better be real careful what I say right now. Not my favorite color, let me say that, for a head of hair. But now I've got a red-headed granddaughter, okay? But doesn't matter what color of hair she's got, she's gorgeous. So, by the way, y'all pray for her. She's in the hospital this afternoon. She's 2 years old, and she has nephrotic syndrome, which is she's got poor kidneys, and so she's up in the hospital this afternoon. Y'all pray for Ansley. Ansley Gale Franks. Well, I don't need to get off on that, or I'll be getting emotional. So, But anyways, David is ruddy with bright eyes. Now, you know what that means? Bright means beautiful. He had gorgeous eyes. And he was good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So here's the big moment. David comes into the room, or comes upon the scene, and Samuel looks at him. David's redheaded, has beautiful eyes, and he's drop-dead gorgeous. He's a good-looking young man. And God says, "Samuel, he's the one. Anoint him. He's going to be the next king of Israel." And David's father and brothers must have just fallen completely out. Can you imagine? The eighth son now has been chosen. He's just a kid. And all he's been doing is tending sheep. But his heart is pure and clean. Don't miss that. His heart is pure and clean. He's got a heart to please God. And so the Lord, by the way, as we look at choosing and calling leaders to our church, that's the number one priority. I don't care how good they can sing. I don't care how good they can preach. I don't care how good they can cook. I don't care how good they can teach. The main thing is that someone has a clean and pure heart. A heart to please God. That's what God looks at, right? Now, I get it, y'all. None of us are perfect. None of us are sinless. But you need to know that your leaders have a heart for God. And that's why God chose David. And so the Lord had a plan for David, and he's got a plan for you. Samuel took that flask of oil and anointed David with that oil. And in the Bible, we talked about that in Sunday school. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil is symbolic of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when Samuel anointed David, basically what he was saying, it was a wordless sermon, but what he's saying is the Holy Spirit has anointed this young man to be the next king. This is God's man. This is God's choice. The Holy Spirit has chosen him. And so God was preparing David to do a job for him. And by the way, those whom God appoints, God anoints. Those whom God appoints, God anoints. And by the way, God always equips those that He appoints and anoints. If God's called you to it, He's going to see you through. Are y'all with me? You don't have to worry about it. If God's called you to do something, don't start asking Him all these questions. You know, well, how are you going to do this? What? Nuh-uh. God's going to equip you for whatever it is that He's called you to do. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in a powerful way from that day on. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. So that was David's selection. Are y'all with me still? Now let's look at one final thing, David's connection, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." Now, David had been appointed as the next, and anointed already with oil, as the next king of Israel. So what would he do now? Well, look at verse 19. "Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.'" In other words, David, although he was anointed as the next king of Israel, where did he go? Right back to the shepherd's field. Right back to doing what God had called him for that specific time in his life to do. And it was there that David would learn how to protect and provide for his father's sheep. You remember when it came time, you remember the sermon for a couple weeks ago? And how God had used David to protect his dad's sheep when the bear had attacked. David had killed that bear, and when the lion had attacked the sheep, David had grabbed that lion by the mane and whopped him upside the head and killed the lion. You remember that? And so God was preparing David even as he was tending the sheep back in the field. And so he's out there in the fields of Boaz, out there in the fields of Bethlehem, and God's training him. What about Saul? Well, the Spirit of God had now left Saul, had departed from Saul. And in the Old Testament, now you need to get this, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon someone normally for a specific task or assignment. What was Saul's specific assignment? Why did the Spirit come upon him in the first place? Yeah, he was anointed as the king of Israel. And so the Spirit of God was with him for a time until Saul was disobedient and offered up sacrifice. That's not what he was disobedient to the Lord. And so because of his disobedience, he was on the way out as king. And then the Spirit of God departed from him. But a lot of people will take that over in the Old Testament to say that a New Testament believer can experience the same thing. No, in the New Testament, now that we're under grace, we're under a new covenant. And when the Spirit of God takes up residence in a believer's life, He's there to stay. How long is eternity? And they shall never perish. Right? I mean, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And so once the Spirit of God comes upon a believer today, he never departs. Now I want to tell you, if you're a believer and you're in sin and you're running from God, my friend, you are in for a mess. Because God will deal with you. He didn't let Jesus get by with our sin. What makes us think we're going to get by with our sin? Is anybody out there tonight? I mean, God will deal with you. He'll take you to the woodshed in a heartbeat. I've been there. And you don't want to go there. And there are people, there are believers, there are folks who God... people have so worn out their witness and so torn up their testimony, God says, you're no longer any good for the body of Christ. It's out of here. You go. And God will take your life. There is a sin unto death that John talks about. That's another sermon for another time. But don't you think that you're a believer and you can just live any old way you want to. Uh-uh. No, sir. No, ma'am. But once you've got the Spirit of God... What did he say in Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Over in the Old Testament, a little bit different. The Spirit of God would come upon someone for a specific purpose, for a specific assignment, for a specific task in order to get what God wanted to do, to get that done. Are y'all with me? That's what happened to Saul. So the Spirit of God departs and... and now an evil spirit was troubling Saul. Disobedient children of God are some of the most miserable people on the planet. Have you ever been around a believer who was out of God's will and running from God? I'd rather be with an alley cat than with an out-of-step believer. They are the most miserable people on the planet. And so Saul has this evil spirit troubling him. Now, there are some days I think Saul was a believer, and there's other days I think Saul was an unbeliever. You can make a case either way for both of them. The key question tonight is, are you a believer? Don't get, let's don't get... I don't want to get off chasing that rabbit tonight. But you can make a good case that Saul was a believer, and you can make a good case that Saul never was really a believer. And so, anyways, in those days, when somebody got like this, they had an evil spirit, and when they were troubled and when they were despondent and despair had set in, music would sometimes help. Does music help y'all? Helps me. Hey, if I get really depressed and downtrodden and beaten up, I'll even listen to Joel Osteen. You know? I'm just kidding. But that's what he is. He's a motivational speaker. He's not a gospel preacher. I'm sorry. He looks a whole lot better than I look, but he's not a gospel preacher. But in those days, King Saul needed a Joel Osteen. He needed somebody who could make him feel good, who could help him to have his best life now. Okay? And so we need a musician. And so they send word out, and guess who King Saul understands plays the harp beautifully? David. Isn't that amazing? Now, and so David comes to play the harp to kind of settle and calm Saul's nerves and whatever this evil spirit was attacking him. And so God wanted David somehow to be connected to the king. Let's read about it. I think I dropped off verse 17. So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I've seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." See, even as a young teenage boy, people realized that God was with David. Especially now, since he's filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Verse 19, "Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.' And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, 'Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight.' And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him." And so, it's amazing what God did there. Although David was going to be the next king of Israel, somehow God wanted to connect David with Saul. Isn't that an amazing thing? That he wanted David to begin a relationship somehow with Saul. And so David just faithfully did what God called him to do and assigned him to do, and played his harp while trying to make this godly connection with Saul. Now, this idea is represented in the New Testament. Acts 13:22. Y'all go there with me real quick. We're about done, but go to Acts 13:22. Remember, look, we're looking here at David's connection. Acts 13:22. When you're there, shout glory. "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" All right, does that mean David was Superman? No. Does that mean David was perfect? No. Does that mean that David was some type of supernatural, unbelievable type person. No, he was just a man after God's own heart. He wanted to please the Lord. That's what he had. And you know, we know David sometimes fell. I mean, he would grow weak in his faith. And he had some awful sins in his life. But he was the kind of person that knew how to get God's attention. Are you the kind of person that knows how to get God's attention? He had an obedient heart, a heart to seek after God. And then turn over one page to Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. Now, that one verse reveals that David served God's purpose in his own generation. David's life was one of service to the Lord and the Lord's people. Isn't that a marvelous statement about someone? That David served God in his own generation. And he had made a connection with God, and he made a connection with people. He had a relationship with God, and he had a relationship with others. And we can learn many lessons tonight from the life of David. We can learn how to be a man or woman after God's own heart, a man who, or woman who is obedient, who has a heart that's sensitive to the things of God, how to have a closer relationship with God and how to have a closer relationship with others. He made big mistakes. Big ones. But he also had a big, brave heart. And as I was thinking about relationships, that's one of our five core values here at Second Mile Church. Relationships. And I don't really know how to close this message tonight, but maybe all that matters in life are relationships. Our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with other people. Our vertical relationship and our horizontal relationships. I want to ask you tonight, how's your relationship with others? Well, why don't you ask me how my relationship with God is? Because Jesus said, your relationship with others determines what kind of relationship you have with Him. Jesus said, by the way we love one another, they shall know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Is there a relationship in your life that's kind of out of kilter right now? But if you're going to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you need to go home and get that connection right tonight. Get that relationship right. Because that's what really matters in life, are relationships. And I think about what made Jesus leave heaven and come here. You know what that was all about? Number one, His relationship with our Heavenly Father. And then the relationships that He knew would be His when He came. How's your relationship with God tonight? How's your relationship with other people tonight? Let's allow the Lord to minister here right now to us. Would you just bow your head? Just bow your head right where you're at. Right where you are. And ask the Lord tonight. Is there some friendship, some relationship, some companionship that's out of kilter in your life right now? Just ask God. Do I need to make it right with someone? And now I ask God to pave the way for you to make that relationship right so that your fellowship can be restored. Because that's God's greatest desire, is that we forgive one another. Lord, I know this to be a fact in our life. There's nothing any more valuable than relationships that you give to us. And Lord, there's people in our lives right now, and we need to make that thing right. How can the family of God be called the children of God and be out of fellowship with other believers and other people? So tonight, God, we repent and we turn from the sin of broken relationships. And you came to heal the brokenhearted. You came to bind up our wounds. And so tonight, Lord, make us men and women of reconciliation. Help us to be reconciled one to another. And your word says that you can't forgive us if we're not willing to forgive others. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to learn this lesson from David's life tonight, and how you connected him and built a relationship with David and Saul, even though Saul tried to take David's life over and over again. He wanted to kill him. And yet through that whole ordeal, David learned that relationships are what matters most. Thank you for the brave heart that David exhibited. And I pray, God, you'd raise up some brave heart folks here at Second Mile Church. And Lord, if there is one here tonight who does not know you as Lord and Savior, if you're here this evening, let me just say, the plan of salvation, God's plan, is so simple and easy to understand, even a young child. The Bible says that we're all sinners. All of us are in the same boat. And every sin we've ever committed was first and foremost against God. And we're separated from Him because of our sin. But the Bible says that our sins became possible for us to be forgiven of our sin because Jesus came and lived a perfect sinless life and became our sacrifice. And the Bible says if you'd be willing to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior and call on Him to save you from your sin right now, you can be saved right here, right now. So I want to pray that, Father, if there is one or two or ten here, that tonight would be the night of salvation. And if you're here tonight and you want to be saved and you've never been saved, this is the first and only time. If God's drawing you and pulling on your spirit, if you just pray something like this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And my sins have separated me from you. But I believe Jesus paid the price for all my sin. He died on a cross for me. And He rose from the grave. And He's alive tonight. Amen. And I invite Jesus into my heart right now. Forgive me of my sin and save me. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you. If you prayed that prayer tonight and you really meant business with God, won't you just look right up here at me. Just look right up here at me right now. thank you. I see you. God loves you so much. He was willing to pay the price for you. And if you really trusted Christ and Him alone to save you from your sin, tonight you got born again. And now you're one of God's children. And you don't care who knows about it. And your coming out party will be your baptism.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.